Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
What I'm saying is, this pastor told me, he said, God does not take an established businessman and move him off and just into another state. Man, you got homes here and you got properties and everything. You don't do that. And I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, but I've done been before the Lord and prayed. And you say, well, you were in rebellion against your pastor. Yes, I was. Because I was following the leading of the Lord, and this pastor took me as far as he could. You know, I told him, I love you, man, but this is what the Lord told me to do. He said, God don't work that way. And I said to God, I'm serving does. And I left. And the church failed after I left. The pastor shouldn't have done that. What if a young man comes to you in this church and say, hey, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be seeking the will of the Lord with you. Because I don't want you here if God's got you somewhere else. Do you realize that? If God's moving you somewhere else, then that's where you need to be. Amen. God's a big, mighty God. You say, Brother Rob, we need an exuberant camp meeting. Let me tell you, I'm talking about you right now. You know, I'm sharing stories about myself. But what you got to do is you got to find in your spirit. And you got to find out what, you know, with my exuberance and zeal and things to serve the Lord. The question again is, have you surrendered? Have you really, truly surrendered? You're serving God in the way you think that you're supposed to. Well, this is what we do as Christians. You know, I'm faithful to go to the church. Let me tell you something, brother. Sin, there is thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people that are faithful, more faithful than any of us about church attendance, that could say they never miss a church service, that are going to bust hell wide open. Because attending church is not the answer. But being faithful in attendance to church is what will happen when you're born again. But there's people that are doing that aren't born again. You understand me tonight? You see, we say, well, this is what the fruit of a born-again person, so I'm producing the fruit. But you still got to have the Spirit of the Lord. Or otherwise, it's will worship. If I was going to go in and expound about will worship tonight and talk about the people I've seen come in with zip and zeal, and people think, oh, there's a real child of God. That man's really born again. But they fall. They're back on their face. How many have seen the patterns in people's life? They're up today, and man, they're the man. I mean, they've got the anointing. They're serving the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you what, if anybody's got the anointing of God, it's that brother right there. And then they're back in the slop hole. The Bible said a dog lapping up the vomit. What happened? See, they weren't born again. Boy, they'll contest that, won't they? Christianity of this day will contest that statement. Well, they were truly born again. They backslid. I'm sorry, they don't know their word or the Bible. There ain't no son of God ever going to be a son of God walking in this earth and find themselves in hell. It'll never be reported because they can't sin. Oh, that gives us a license, Brother Rob, if we can't sin. That gives us a license. You know, I believe that we can't sin, man. And, you know, yeah, I'm not going to be accountable for the snorting, the sniffing, and the smoking, and the drinking, and all that stuff. I'm not going to be accountable. I'm a son of God, and I can't sin. Man, you just got something all twisted up there. I like what Brother Pike used to say. He said, you know, you got a little kitten with a little ball of yarn. He said, the more you got it, the more it gets swatted up and tangled up. Yeah, well, don't you believe that, Brother Rob? Oh, yes, I do believe that. Let me tell you something. This isn't a fancy words or some scripture retention that we sons of God can't sin. Brothers and sisters, we come to a revelation and understanding of that, and we know why we can't. Amen. And we done been caught out of here. Talking with a man today, and I shared the story about where a woman come to visit here in the church, and she come to me and said, Brother Rob, do you really believe the rapture's already taken place? And I said, yeah, don't you? And I tell you what, this woman, boy, if you couldn't found a door quick enough, she wanted to go, and I wasn't going to let her get out like that, but I was just trying to get her attention. I think I had it, didn't I? Amen. Well, would you lie to her just to get her attention? I didn't lie to her. The rapture's already taken place. Don't you believe that? If, brothers and sisters, if this rapture hadn't already taken place, then you tell me how I'm already living in heavenly places. Amen. And if I'm where Jesus is at, somebody tell me where Jesus is. Amen. Well, he's in heaven, Brother Rob. Now, the thing is if Jesus is in heaven and I'm where he is, that's what his Bible says. Are we going to take this part out? If I'm where he is, so then how did I get there? I got raptured there, which we don't use that word a lot because it's got a different teaching understanding. Me and my grandson, Gabriel, were fellowshipping the word a little bit this afternoon, talking about some things and talking about the etymology of words and how they change over the years. And the thing is I've been contested on, I said the word person has changed. And somebody contested me on that and said, no, that's not true, Brother Rob. That's just your thought. Well, all they got to do is go over and type in the word etymology and then type in the word person and study it out for themselves. And the thing is by me teaching a doctrine that God is one, and that he's not a three-person God. There was a time that I could dispute with people using words and using study aids, even like Webster's, we might say, and showing what the word means. And the original rendering of the word person is something human, something tangible, something corruptible, and something that's not eternal. Somebody here tell me, does everybody run out when they're having a good old day and everybody says, hey, I'm gay. I'm gay. Come on now. What if old Brother Rob goes uptown High Point, hey, everybody, I'm gay. Huh?
Yep.
Now, does that work different today than it used to be?
Amen.
Brother Willie, was it different when you was a kid?
Yes, sir.
My dad's a little older than you, Brother Willie. Dad, was the word gay different when you was a kid? Yeah, we know it was. But that word changed. Now we don't use that word because it had been stolen away through perversion. But the same thing is this word person. Nowadays, if you go and look it up in the new teachings or the new things, that it can apply the word person to something that's a spirit. Something, they used even the word celestial. Come on now. You see, now you tell me it hasn't changed. But when you get down to across the T and dot the I in a word study with some of these people that are very skilled, you see, it's hard for you to say, well, you can't teach that doctrine. But you know, if the word person would apply to something that is eternal, something that is celestial, something that's invisible, then I could say that the Father is a person. But we know that that's wrong, and I'll never do that because the same reason I don't use the term gay when I express sodomy or perversion or an abomination in God. So I choose not to go with what they call the change. You understand where I'm at tonight?
Yeah, that's right.
So let me ask you a question. What is change that you're holding on to, but has made a transformation and a change? Let me tell you something. There's many things. Would anybody dispute with me that Brother Wesley, John Wesley, a wonderful man of God, some esteem him as one of the seven church age leaders, the founder of what we would say the Methodist Church of this time, and even the Wesleyans, I believe. Can anybody say that their church has changed since he was active and walking? Come on now, we know it has. He would have never allowed a lesbian woman to come into one of his churches and preach. Well, we know better. So what has changed there? You know, well, Grandma was a Methodist, and Grandpa was a Methodist, and Great-Grandpa was a Methodist. And I've had people tell me, said, I was born a Methodist, or I was born a Baptist, and I'll die one. Well, go ahead and die then. Are you with me?
Amen.
And people are making stand for things. I've traveled, brothers and sisters, and I've gone to works that the work died. But because Grandpa shed his blood or built it, or because Grandma and Grandpa made great sacrifices, they're going to stay with the brick and the stone, and the spirit is done departed because of the other perversions that have come in. Brothers and sisters, we're in the spirit. We're led by the spirit. We're walking in the spirit. Yes, we have respect for the house of God. Yes, we have respect for the things of God and the places, and we should take care of them, and they should be precious in our sight. But brothers and sisters, there's something that is so far more important than that. And it is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you're going to have one with your pastor. You never get so spiritual that you're more spiritual than your pastor that you can't have a relationship with him. And when somebody thinks they're more spiritual than their pastor is, they absolutely are making a big manifestation that they are not spiritual at all. If you found yourself involved in a work and you think that God has taken you into a greater place of the Spirit than that pastor is, it puts a responsibility on you to help him and walk with him and pray with him. That's your responsibility. Why else did the Lord put you there? Think about it. What did he put you there for? For you could sit and glare at him while he's preaching, or sit there and get puffed up in your own self. Well, I'm better than him, smarter than him. That ain't the case. We are a many-membered body, brothers and sisters, and we need one another. You know, I don't go to sports. I don't watch sports. But you know, as a child, I played sports and things. I never got into pro ball or none of that stuff. But I mean, as a kid, go out and play baseball or different things. I know a little bit about it. But I know it don't matter how good of a pitcher I am. I need somebody to catch that ball and throw it back to me. Is that true? Come on now. That's, you know, this ain't promoting sports here. But if you're a good pitcher, you need someone to get that ball back to you and catch it. Is that right? And if somebody happens to get one, it's just you're so good of a pitcher. You know, you do all no hitters. But maybe by chance, somebody might hit that ball. And you better have somebody out there to catch it. Is that right? And then if you got somebody to catch it, they're going to have to throw it to somebody else, ain't it? Now, why would that not be something that we could see as a brotherhood and as children of God and a family of God of how we need one another? Have you ever met a pitcher says, hey, man, pitch me a no hitter. Man, I've won the game all by myself. That's not the truth. He can't do it all by himself. Can he? Can he do it by himself? He can't. He had to have that guy catch the ball and throw it back. I guess there is some no-hitter games before. I've heard that before. I've never seen one. They just didn't have me there to pitch. That's why. No. Help me, Jesus. Amen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. We come to camp meeting tonight. Amen. Amen. Well, I come expecting, Brother Rom. I did too. Let's all stand back to our feet a minute. You going to close the service this quick? We're just getting started. What y'all talking about? This is camp meeting. Amen. Well, Brother Rob, it's 8:15, man. You know, we've been over here for an hour and 15 minutes. Come on, Brother Rom. I tell you what, I feel pretty good. Amen. You feeling all right, Brother Willie? Come up here and help me sing a song then. Come on up here. We're just getting started. All right. You can either sing or preach, man. It's either. How about testifying before you sing a song for us? Tell us, man, what good God's been doing for you. Amen. Has he done anything for you?
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. You know, I was sitting there thinking when Brother Ross was talking about things there, some of the things that that he mentioned happened to him, it happened to me in my life and before I left our home. But then most of all, I thought about the Lord, how he saved me. You know, I think so often, I got a place that I can point the devil back to let him know where he lost the battle.
Hallelujah.
See, on a Friday the 13th, some people call it bad luck day. But you know, that it was bad luck for the devil. But for me, it was grace in God.
Amen.
On that day, I didn't go seeking the Lord. I did not. I was invited to a prayer meeting, a little simple prayer meeting. A few people was there. But God had his way in that meeting. And folks, I had an unworthy life, one that you don't want to be involved in. But by the grace of God, that night, Friday the 13th, I'll never forget, 1969, June, that God saved me. He cleaned me up from a whole lot of stuff, folks. I didn't have the desire no more. God put a different desire in my heart never to serve him. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. And I can say that God has been good to me. He's been real good to me. He gave me a good family, a good wife, and precious brothers and sisters in the Lord. I just thank God for it. You know, I was thinking about, like Brother Rob talking about worshiping this. But we got something to worship and praise the Lord about. And within worship and praise the Lord, God is calling us to come and dine with him. He got a feast set for us that is fit for a king's son. And I'm glad to be a king's son. Praise the Lord. Y'all help me sing this song. Jesus has the table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people to come and dine. With his manna he's asleep. He supplies our every need. Just as sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Oh, come and dine, the master's calling. Come and dine. You may feast as Jesus saves all the time. He will fed the multitude, turn the waters into wine. To the hungry callers now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying God's command. For the master called to them, come and dine. There they found their heart desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfied the home every time. Oh, come and dine, the master's calling. Come and dine. You may feast as Jesus said all the time. He will fed the multitude, turn the water into wine. To the hungry call it now, come and dine.
Amen. Hallelujah. He said, if you come and eat of this, amen, or drink, you'll never thirst or never hunger ever again. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sounds like y'all got something tonight. Amen. I think we're getting a breakthrough, Brother Willie. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I remember being in a service right here in this church, and
You know, I just didn't think it was time to close yet. Amen. And I said, you know, I can't do that. And the Lord moved, and we had people in the altars. And then they went back and sat down, come back in. The altars went back and said, I just didn't have peace. And the Lord moved a different way again. And oh, church, man, everybody came back in the altars. Amen. You say, well, is that going to happen tonight, Brother Rob? It might happen as soon as we get you up here and help you out just a little bit. Amen. Just help you out just a little bit. And y'all be seated a minute. I know what I came to do. I came to praise the Lord. Amen. I came to serve the Lord tonight. I came to hear from heaven tonight. You know, brothers and sisters, the problems that we have, and I found this in my spirit as I started talking to you when I first came up here. Not sure what direction to go, but I find things in my spirit. Do you ever have things in your spirit? Do you ever have things in your spirit, and maybe because you've been with the Lord or been before the Lord, and He's put things in your heart, put things in your spirit? We need to continually have something in our spirit. And the thing is, you know, the Bible does say you leave the 99 and go after the one. You know, and people think, well, that's when the pastor's out on the evangelistic field. That's not always the case. Sometimes we have these ideas of such, but sometimes it might be right in a church service and leaving the one. You know, and there's so many things that people feel like they've got a grip on or an understanding on, and they really do not see nor understand. I sat down in a barber shop today for a moment, and a gentleman come up and sat down beside me. I mean, Brother Chuck was there waiting. We was talking to a fireman, and this gentleman come sat down. Seemed like a real nice brother. And I was talking with a fireman, and, you know, I made mention of the Lord and, you know, a few little things here and there, just kind of looking at him, putting some bread out, maybe see if he'd come back. Huh? You ever do that? Well, this other man came in and sat down, and he sat down there for just a minute. He said, are you a pastor? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'm a theologian. And I said, well, that's great. I said, Chuck is too. I love you, Brother Chuck. You know, that's a great way to introduce yourself to somebody. Hey, I'm a theologian. One time, Brother Pike was speaking, and he said, well, Brother Rob's a Bible scholar. I said, you know, brother, I've been in agreement with you for many years, and I love you, man. And, you know, this, that. But, boy, you missed it this time, sir. I think he was trying to speak something into existence there. Amen. I wish I was. I wish I had a retention, as some of these young folks have, of getting into scriptures and retaining things in the Word. I started out saying some awkward things tonight. I said, you go home and you fast and you pray and stay in your room all day and you're out of the will of God and you grieve the Spirit of God. And then I explained why. Now see, by hearing that for a moment, you could say, this guy's off. This guy's missed it. I could say many things through the orchestration of the Spirit of the living God. And people think, well, I don't agree with that. It don't bear witness with me. You know, a preacher's looking for things to speak allegorically to bring in a revelation of something spiritually. I'm not a politician. I honestly couldn't tell you the governor of North Carolina right now. I mean that. Well, that's ignorant, Brother Rob. Well, I'm sorry, I can't. And you can call me ignorant, you call me whatever you want. But I'm just saying, I don't get out there involved in the politics and I don't get involved in sports. But I used an example of a ball team a minute ago to bring in a revelation or a thought or an understanding of something. So now there's many people that like to feel like they're educated in conversation. They want to speak to people and feel like they've got some understanding. And you know what? I could walk through the streets of High Point and I could come up with a lot of people tonight that feel like they could make the decisions for our foreign policies around the world. And they gathered their information from something called CNN News or Fox News, or they gathered it over here on ABC or wherever they got it at. And maybe they went to the Google God and they got it. I don't know. But what I'm saying, they got this information and they will sit down with you and they are a superior at this subject. Well, let me tell you, we got no business being in Afghanistan. Let me tell you, we got no business being over in Iran. Let me tell you, we got no business doing this. And they will sit and speak to you like they're some kind of an authority. Has anybody ever met anybody like that before? Yes, sir. Now, what I'm saying is that they could carry on a good conversation. They could speak as one that is authoritative. They could speak as one that has an understanding because they've applied themselves. But there's something that could really cause a problem there. If the problem that they may be having is the information that they gathered to make them the authority. Are you with me, saints? The information that they gathered to give them where they feel like they could make the proper analysis or the proper decisions was not the right information. Let me share a story with you. A doctor went in and he was very skilled at his trade. And he went in and he took apart, he cut a man. But you know what? He had the skill and the ability and everything. But his information that he got was wrong. He had the wrong patient. The poor guy went in to get a toenail and grown toenail removed, and he just happened to give up a gallbladder, huh? You don't think things like that have happened? They've happened. But you see, sometimes people are doing things to the best of their ability, but the information that has been given or the information that they are working on has been polluted, perverted. Brother Chuck shared a little thing with me. He said he was speaking with Brother Pike one time, and they were talking about doing a job. And he was talking about the things that they were using to do the job with. You know, you want to do a job as perfection, but sometimes it's hard to do something very precise or perfect if the materials that you're using aren't perfect. Talking about Brother Rob now. Huh? Were you perfect? But the Lord can perfect us, can he? See, I turned things just like that on you, didn't I? But what I'm telling you something, brothers and sisters, we sometimes feel like we're an authority. And the information that we've gathered, do you realize that people, you know, we could talk about some great men of God. We could talk about Brother Pike or Brother Branham if you choose to go there. But there's people that could go and get information. Do you realize that? A Democrat wants to get Democratic information, and they're going to walk on the people that they would say over on the right, and the ones on the right are going to walk on the ones on the left, but they're going to be gathering information because they think like a Democrat, so they're going to think and get the information and strengthen them to be what they are, or a Republican the same way. And again, I'm not a politician. I don't vote. You say, well, I think you should. Well, you go ahead and go do it. I've already put my king in. His name is Jesus. Amen. Well, I think you're a Christian. I think you should be involved in politics. Well, you just go get involved in it. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. You worry about your own salvation. Well, you against them people are doing that? We're not going there right now. But if the Lord told the guy he didn't have time to go bury his own father, he said, let the dead go and bury the dead. I'm sure he's going to tell you to go get in a boat and ballot. I'll leave that one with you too. Amen. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with voting. Did I say anything was wrong with voting? I'm just telling you, I done cast my vote. Amen. You know who's going to be in the next president? The one that the Lord Jesus Christ choose to be there. Because he's going to give America a king after their own heart. That's why we got the one we got now. He said, that's not the Lord's will. I beg your pardon. It's the Lord's will for that man to be there. Amen. Because it's exactly what the American people need. Where are you going to go here with this, Brother Rob? I'm talking to you about the information that you've gathered. Well, I'm pretty sound in my information that I've gathered. Well, let me tell you something. I watch people take the Word of God, and I say the Word of God is accurate. Anybody disagree with that? No, I say the Word of God is true, and let every man be a liar. Nobody contests that, can they? But then why do we find these different religions or different orders or different denominations, and they're all using the exact same Bible? You have this Baptist Trinitarian. He said, let me tell you something, brother. You need to use that King James Bible. If you're using anything else, it ain't right. And he'll stand there real dogmatic about that. And then you got your oneness Pentecostal apostolic preacher there, and he said, I've got my King James Bible. And brother, if you use anything else, you're an error and you're wrong. But then yet, those two guys using the same word, the same truth, are banging heads. Is that true or false? And they both exclaim the men as spiritual. You know they do. Well, I don't believe there's no spiritual Baptist. Well, come hang out with me for a while. I'm a Baptist. Now, come on. I'm talking about people using the same thing. People like to chide. Have you ever seen that before? I'm just talking with you a little bit. We're soul winners. I'm just trying to help you in how to win souls. Why do people chide? They'll have a sense in their spirit to justification. Why they're chiding in the Word. Arguing because they say, I'm right, he's wrong, and I'm going to prove that. Right there, you've lost the battle. Somebody tell me that Jesus done that. Somebody take me into scriptures when they made the allegations against him, that he was there in defense of himself. Somebody help me out and get into scriptures and show me that. I'm who you say that I am. Hey, physician, heal thyself. Hey, if you're who you say you are, you take and turn that stone into bread. Did he do it? Then why are you ordered to do it? Let me tell you something. I remember ministering many messages. I remember not too many years ago, a year, two, three, whatever. I ministered a message before camp meeting. And we entitled the message, or they entitled, I don't put no names on, but they called it The Motivating Factor. I'll tell you, I remember the message because I was getting wore out by that preacher. Let me tell you something. Does God have his way in motivating factors that aren't really his will? Yes, he does. He has his way in the good and the evil. You see, I had a motivating factor to try to please God instead of just surrender to him and say, here I am, Lord. I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know where you want me to be. I don't know what anything about this, but here I am. Use me and submit and listen. But we got our own ideas sometimes. How many people in the career world, they don't want to go through the chain of command and labor and work their way up? They're down here sweeping the shop floor and they're looking at the presidency. I've been there. Are we honest, folks? Come on, brother. We got a little bit of humility. Come on, brother. I know I'm preaching to people tonight because your heart's fashioned alike and we've all been in the same place. And the only difference between me and you or some and others is that there's some that could say, you know what? I am a man. I am human. And I do make mistakes. And when you realize that, then you could do something about it. But if you're walking around and you think that you're the one and you're the man and you got the understanding, why are you in the slop hole all the time and never walking in the Spirit? And why are you never led by the Spirit? And why is there only envy and strife and jealousies and all those things in your life? Who are you preaching to? You deal with that stuff, Brother Rob? If I don't, then the Word of God's a lie. Is that true? If I don't have to deal with those things in my life, the Word of God is a lie. Well, brother, if you would get where I'm at and be in the Spirit, man, it'd be spiritual, you wouldn't have to deal with that. Somebody slap the devil out of him. Amen? You know what? We want to be spiritual. Does everybody want to be spiritual? Amen. Paul said, I'd like to speak to you on the spirituals. You know, and the thing is, I'm not real slick with words or, you know, this clever speech and all these kind of things. And I know that my mannerisms, my expressions, I know they're crude. I don't have good pronunciation and a lot of things. But I know one thing, I got the Spirit of the living God living in me. And if you could listen to some of the crude things coming out, it might change your old crude life. And you might get filled up with the Holy Ghost and get victory in your life and start walking in the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Amen. But we get these ideas. We get these ideologies that, well, this is what it's going to take. And it'll never happen that way. It doesn't work that way. We got ideas. I shared the story about a guy that had an idea of how he was going to be healed. And he rejected it because he had a vision. Rejected the healing because he had a vision. And this isn't my confession, it's his. He said, man, the healing was there, but the Lord showed me in a dream. It was another man. It wasn't you that laid hands on me, Brother Rob. It was another man, and he rejected the healing. I've been before the Lord and asked his church to pray and to fast and do this. But see, he had another thought. Brothers and sisters, sometimes our thoughts push God out. Sometimes our thoughts and our ideas limit an unlimited God. Because we got an idea, this is the way it is. Some of them can't hear Brother Rob because they got an idea that every pastor is supposed to be just like a man named Reverend George Pike. I'm not Reverend George Pike. He was my pastor and I loved him, but I'll never be like him. Well, you should try to. He was trying to be like Jesus, and I'm trying to be like Jesus. Amen. And while he was trying to be like Jesus, he was teaching me about Jesus. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. The ones that think I'm supposed to be like Brother George Pike are the ones that are the farthest away from him. I'm sorry to say that. You know, if we would go into some things like will worship, if we'd go into some things like that, people, you know, well, this is what he done, I'm going to do that. You'll die and go to hell trying to do what he done. I'm telling you the truth. You see, you know, the Lord dealt with him in special, special ways, yes. And he brought special things and special depths and special understandings to us. But you know, you got to wait on your call. You got to wait on your measure. You got to follow the leading of the Lord. When I was a young man learning to fly, yes, I wanted to be like my dad. But I would get in a little single engine airplane and pot around and learning techniques and things like that. While he's getting into multi-engine jet and he's getting there 8 times faster than I was. But yes, I could look to that, and I could desire that, and I could press for that. Amen, but it didn't discount the fact that I had responsibilities. And sometimes in that little single engine, you got 3 souls riding around in it with you, and you're going to take them from point A to point B. You still got a responsibility. Amen? Yeah. If this man over here is not a very good husband, because he's not a good husband, can you go in there and just take his wife from him because he's not a good husband? Somebody tell me that's a violation. You know it is. Just because he's not a good husband doesn't mean you can go take his wife away from him. It'd make you an adulterer and make her a whore. If you're a single man, you don't do that. You know, and just people got these ideas because a preacher might be an heir that they could go and smite him and that they can go and cause confusion in his group. It don't work that way. Let me tell you something. It doesn't work that way. You cannot do those things. Say, Brother Rob, we're not doing those things. Brothers and sisters, some of you are guilty that are in this building tonight. And you say, I don't think so. Oh, yes, I know so. You know why I know so? Because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth and He doesn't lie. Amen. Now let me tell you something there. I used to think that if God showed me something, that I was supposed to speak it. You say, I know you pretty well, Brother Rob. I still think you do that. I'm working on it. God help me, Jesus. Amen. But I thought, Lord, if you're going to share this with me, then you must want me to speak this. Well, I'm thankful that my wife doesn't speak everything I share with her to everybody. You know, my husband called me Sweetie Pie Honey Bunch last night.
I'm a man. We don't talk that way.
Come on, macho man. I know how you are. Some of you are hard to get through to. A
little bit too polished, a little bit too masculine.
Help us, Jesus. Saying a lot of things here, and I'm going to gather them in just a moment. Because, you know, I've found the mind of the Lord and what He's saying. Are you listening? Are you hearing? Who are you talking to, Brother Rob? Then exactly the one just asked the question. Well, this message is for somebody else. It's always for somebody else. That's why you're not growing in the grace and knowledge of God, because Brother Rob's always talking to the other guy, always talking to the other sister, always talking to the other house. You realize that? I made a little comment today. I said, some of us want to be right more than we want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But you realize that when you find out that you're wrong, then you're growing in the grace and knowledge of God? Because you got to get the wrong out of the way before you can be right. How many of the messages have you heard me preach about, you know, the expose of the son of perdition first, before the revelation of the Lord? And everybody puts this off into some futuristic work, you know, and that this abomination of desolation is going to take place in Israel, and this great abomination of desolation, and Jesus is going to come back and set up rule in this earth for the Jews. Well, you're correct in the part that's just dealing with the natural Jew, but I'm talking to the spiritual elect today, and that you have got to get you out of the way. Yes, you, the son of perdition. Yes, Brother Rob Coons. Yes, Brother Andy Beach. Yes, Brother Randy. I go down to sisters and every name in here. And you've got to expose that man in his weakness. You got to expose that man in his darkness. You've got to expose that man in all of his inabilities for Christ could live. Because while you're esteeming that man as greater than everybody else, and you're esteeming that man as a very polished and spiritual man, you have never come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ because you can quote what a preacher said, because you walk with a preacher, or you can talk about what he said. Amen. But that's not the revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ is the revealing of the love of God in your life, walking with people that are down and need help and need love and need companionship and fellowship, but we're too busy walking on them. Is that revelation? Brothers and sisters, is it revelation? It's not. We have been guilty of perverting the revelation of Jesus Christ into some puffed up head knowledge and some quotes. We're guilty. And then you hear a message like that and you say, Brother Rob is trying to take away the mysteries of God. You poor reprobate. You know what? I've come to a place in my walk with the Lord that I'm sick and tired of talking about the things of God with reprobates. I'm sick and tired of wanting somebody to talk to me about the mysteries of God that lives like a drunk and lives like a whoremonger and lives like a filthy pervert. I'm sick of talking to them. I'm not going to pollute the things of God. Are you with me, saints? You know what? We need to clean our lives up. You want to talk about the mysteries? You want to talk about revelation? You want to talk about a man named Reverend George Pike? You want to talk about a brother named William Branham? Then you get your life right. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. You get saved and get born again. You start letting the love of God come forth out of your expressions and out of your actions and be like you know you passed from death unto life because you love the brethren. Amen. When you love the brethren, brothers and sisters, you're with the brethren. When you love the brethren, you're fellowshipping with the brethren and you're taking the endeavors on of the brotherhood and you're sharing the labors, you're sharing the load of a brotherhood when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, you ain't got nothing. Amen. Help me, Jesus. I need you. Amen. You need the Lord? Let me tell you something. When you get so spiritual that you don't need God and you don't need prayer because you're so spiritual and you got the mind of the Lord, you never seen the mind of God. The mind of God is submissive like a little child. He said, Lord God, I'm the least, I need your help. I need your spirit. I need your anointing. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to talk to me. You never come behind a sacred desk. I got the message. You're full of the devil when you think like that. You come by the sacred desk and say, oh my God, these are your people. Use me, Lord, the least of them all. And then you'll find that you'll feed somebody and somebody will get help. Amen. There ain't nothing worse. I don't care if you're a singer. When you get up here, oh, it's about time. I'm going to show them now. It's dead. It's dry. It don't have no life. Amen. I like singing to the Lord. You may not like hearing it, but I guarantee by the time it goes through the transformation, all changed and cleaned up, it probably sounds pretty good by the time it gets there, eh? You don't believe that, do you? He could change an old ugly rascal into something eternal, and you can't believe he could make it sound good. I could tell you what a sweet-smelling savor before the nostrils of the Lord smells like. Do you know? Brothers and sisters, let me go on here for a moment. Let me just help you just for a moment. You know, it's always the preachers preaching to somebody else. Always. You know, that's sad. I remember hearing the story about the preacher that closed the service that night. He was over at the church or something, and it was a bad storm or something. The guy showed up, and the preacher thought, hey, I'm going to take advantage of this. He goes, because every time he was preaching down this head deacon's trail, he was saying, you really got him tonight, preacher. Yeah, I know y'all heard it, hadn't you? I'm talking about you now. But this, you know, the preacher, this deacon comes to church, the preacher said, well, I'm going to go ahead and preach then. So he goes up and preaches, and the deacon comes up and said, man, that's a good message, pastor. He goes, too bad they wasn't here to hear it. That's what he said. Why did I say a story like that? Because that is you. That is the way we as men are. It's never my fault. It's never my responsibility. You want me to take you back to the beginning in the garden? It was the woman that you gave me. It was the serpent. It's always somebody else's fault. Well, I wasn't raised right. Or it was this or it was that. It's the medication. It's this. It's that. Quit making excuses. Fall in love with Jesus. He's the solution for all problems. He takes and heals and delivers and sets free. Do you believe that, church? Come on, He's our God. He's our Savior. He's our salvation. Amen. He's got the answers for every problem. And what we do is we get in the way. And we work it out. And we Google it. We laid a little bit of a foundation for a reason. Well, have you spoke on it? Have you built upon it? What have you done with it, Brother Rob? Well, I'm still working around you to try to get it where you could just sink into that heart a little bit. Because I'm always talking to somebody else. Come on now. It's always the other man. Boy, I tell you what, that preacher man, he's really straightening this one out. Boy, old sister, such, such, old brother, this and that. But brothers, it's you. The difference between the one that you see that needs the message is you had eyes to see his weaknesses and failures and his shortcomings, but you never had eyes that the Lord Jesus was talking about, eyes of the Spirit, that you could see your problems and failures because you're in love with yourself. And you say, I don't agree with that. Well, you need to be, because I'm talking to men here tonight. I'm talking to men here tonight. I'm talking to the human race that has a heart fashioned alike and has the same problems and complications. And the thing is you could start learning something. And you could start learning not to lean on the arm of your intellectual mind, the arm of your flesh, the arm of your smarts, the arm of your Bible studies. And you lean on those things, and it's not what you're supposed to lean on. Am I against Bible study? No. But there's people that have studied the Word, like Brother George said, and all of a sudden now they've got the cow eating grass out of the top of a tree. And they'll take a word, and they complicate it. Let me tell you something. I've been in some Bible study groups here as of late. And it isn't the Word of God that become the authority. It isn't the Word. It's not the King James Bible that become the authority. It's some theologian that become the authority. And he wrote a commentary. And that commentary will explain and express away the Spirit of the living Word. And they'll put it into some intellectual application for they can continue on in their lives, in their lifestyles, and they can feel justified. And they take things out of perspective. I'm going to go on just a little bit closer than that. I could talk about the commentaries written by some great men that really have some great understanding, but something they might not have had was the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they didn't know how to differentiate between the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Maybe they didn't understand those things. Because there's people that sat under a man of God that gave his life to it, and they don't. And they don't know how to differentiate their own self. And that's why they walk in trouble and problems. Because they're always esteeming another man, admiration. And they're always talking about things. They'll get people around them. Do you realize that you could find anybody to be in agreement with you in anything that you're doing? I'll tell you that for a fact. If you're as low down and as perverted as a sodomite, you could find you a church that'll welcome you in, and you'll be their fellow brother. And they'll tell you that it's okay what you're doing. It doesn't matter. And everybody's justifying it. Let me tell you, people have taken the revelational doctrine that was preached at a place called Little Bethlehem. A revelational doctrine preached by a great man of God. And they've taken and nothing but twisted it and perverted it for their own fleshly lust. For they can live like dogs and swines and pigs. And they can look you in the eye and say, brother, I'm born of God and I cannot sin. And they're deceived because they're nothing but full of the devil themselves. And they're nothing but the manifestation of sin. Let me tell you, the revelation of Jesus Christ ain't some quotes of a great man of God. It isn't some intellectual understanding of what the Word of God says. The revelation of Jesus Christ is that Spirit of the living God living in you, filled you up to overflowing, and your cup is overrun, and you have died and no longer live, and now it's Christ, and everything that goes forth is to esteem Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. Or it isn't of God. And it'll never be of God. I'm not speaking disrespectful of great men of God like Brother Pike or Brother Branham. No, I'm speaking about people that have destroyed their name. That's what I'm talking about. You know what? I've got books back out there written by a man of God named Reverend George Pike that some people live such filthy, perverted life, they wouldn't even take and read that book because they associate him with you. Do you hear me? I've had people call me as a pastor to go out and testify or try to lead somebody to God. But I'm already killed before I get there because they've seen your perversion and they've seen your filth and they've seen your ideology. And they say, I must have got that from that preacher. I'll tell you what, Brother Pike would be in many cases very pleased in some of the things that he sees some of his brethren doing. But I'll tell you what, he'd be a disappointed man. With who? With me. But you would never admit to that, would you? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, we've got responsibilities, but it's always somebody else's. Why is it Brother Rob's responsibility? Why isn't it Brother Ed's? Brother Andy's? Well, you were called, brother. Well, you wasn't. The Bible said make your calling and election sure. Is that talking to preachers? No, it's talking to every brother and sister. Every single one of you got to check and make sure your calling and your election is sure. Well, I'm a woman, I ain't called. Well, then you'll go to hell. You say, I just don't believe women are called. You don't? You don't think women are called? Well, if that's the case, why don't you sisters just all staying at home and we'll brethren just come together? Well, you believe women are called? I most definitely know they are. My wife had to be called to serve under a shepherd. Somebody tell me that's not a calling. It's not an easy one sometimes. You think the word calling is just defining the fivefold ministry? So anybody that's not part of the fivefold ministry doesn't have to make and check their calling and their election to make it sure? Is it only the fivefold ministry that has an election? You know better than that. We all have a calling. We all have a place. A woman has her place. A woman has her place in the home, in a marriage. She has a very important. You take the woman out of the home is going to have a problem. There's things the man can't fulfill and do that only the woman can. And do you realize that the women in the church have a place? A very beautiful, a very anointed, a very powerful place. But some male chauvinist sweat hog pigs, I can't say it harsh enough, because they're so much better than the woman, and a woman's just a weaker vessel. I ain't slapped nobody yet. I draw people up, I like doing it, because I like that old devil to get rose up a little bit. You know, Jesus didn't quote the Bible verbatim either. He didn't quote the word right. Somebody help that guy, please. I get so sick of devils that got you under the guns. You know what? I'm sorry. You know, they want you to be so polished and calm. God so loved the world. And I just want to go, meh. Hey, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. I'm just talking with you a little bit. We're starting camp meeting here. You know, you never wanted to do that? Come on now. The difference between me and you is I do it. You ain't brave enough. I'll go, bleh! Brother John, turn the TV off. I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm just talking to you. I'm trying to reach you a little bit. You know, we're afraid to get real. That's the problem. We want to be so polished and so spiritual we polish the Lord out of our lives. Oh, are you coming against holiness? No. Are you coming against sober-minded? No. But what I'm coming against is that intellectual vomit mind you got that thinks you're better than everybody else and walking around in your polishedness and all I see is the stench in the nostrils of God. That's what I'm talking about. See, that could be me. You know what? Today, you could be in the Spirit of God. You could be walking in the Spirit of God. You could be led by the Spirit of God. You could be prayed up. And tomorrow, you could do nothing but stumble and spew and vomit. You say, I don't believe that. Well, then tell me what happened to Peter when he leaned over to that mind of intellect, savoring the things that be of the flesh. Oh, yeah, you could analyze Brother Peter's life, can't you? Oh, he savored the things of the flesh. Oh, I never do that. You're a lying devil. We do it every single day. Unless you mortify that mind. Unless you mortify those thoughts. Unless you kill that man out every single day. Well, I come to a place, Brother Rob, I don't have to do that. You never saw that place. You never came to that place ever one time in your life. Because I'm telling you what, those men of God that put those things down, it was God breathed. And he said, take up your cross on a daily basis. Brother George Pike, he said, I don't want to tell somebody I'm full of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You understand that? He didn't want, oh yeah, back in 1923, I got filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence speaking of tongues. No! What you need to do is you need to stay full of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you, there's people walking around talking in tongues every day. And they go to their churches and they all talk in tongues and they're all on their way to hell. I'm sorry, my Pentecostal brother, if that offends you. I'm a Pentecostal preacher and I speak in tongues also. But they put so much emphasis on their tongue talking, they forgot to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. It's what they forgot to do. Yes, I believe in speaking in tongues. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I pray more than you do. Amen. But his emphasis wasn't on tongues. His emphasis was being filled with that Holy Ghost. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're full of something called love. And it's the love for people. It's the love for people that are failing. It's the love for people that are laying in the cesspool of iniquity. It's the love for the heathen. And you'll go and reach down and you'll pick them up and you'll love them and help them. And you'll get your religious self out of the way and love them. That's somebody else's job. That's somebody else's responsibility. No, it's not. It's yours. You see, we spend too much time thinking in the wrong mind. Let this mind be in you. Let me tell you, people quote that. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let me tell you something that's attainable. There is a mind of equality with the living God by being joint heirs with him. But brothers and sisters, when your man is living and your will is living and you're walking in your ways and your will and doing the things that you want to do and where you want to do them at, let me tell you, you ain't fit to call yourself a preacher if you're preaching where you want to preach at. You ain't fit to call yourself an evangelist if you're evangelizing where you want to evangelize at. You ain't fit to call yourself a Christian and be part of a church if you're where you want to be and not where God wants you to be. Are you listening to me? Brother Rob, after we listen to this message, we might just have to find us another church. And I say, if that's the leading of the Lord, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to say, praise God. Amen, because I tell you. You say, well, don't you want people, Brother Rob? I ain't looking for people. What you looking for? I'm looking for sons of God. And people keep getting in the way. Some of them are stumbling blocks of offense. Some of them are bringing strife and discord and keeping things in complications and problems. Well, Brother Rob, let's have camp meeting. I'm having it. Amen. Well, you say, preacher, I think you used adequate time tonight. And I think that it'd be appropriate for you to close now. That's why I'm not. Man, this lady called up and come over to visit. She calls over here and she said, Pastor Rob, it's school night. And I just wondered what time you let out on Wednesday night. And I said, well, you know, sister, I said, we never really try to put a timetable on the word and the things of God, but we're usually out, you know, sometimes around 9 o'clock. I'm real polished and seasoned. She come to church that night with her kids. And I ask a question while I'm preaching. Did you call the basketball coach over there when you was out at the basketball game on Thursday night and went into overtime and you was there till 10 o'clock at night? blow the whistle. It's bedtime for my kids tonight. They never invent. They never one time interrupted a ball game for that. I'll promise you that. But the preacher, boy, he's got to be polished. He got to have things when to shut them down. Come on. We don't have no deacons, but I'd like to see one looking at his watch. Why do I say things like this? Because what if you're thinking the preacher's supposed to be closing and it was right about then you was going to get set free of that devil that has been absolutely destroying your life and taking it. You say, I ain't got no devil. Come up here and I'll prove to everybody you do. You say, I don't think you can do that. Well, come up here then. And I'll take that other part of the message that I was talking about, slapping somebody. And when I get done slapping you, everybody's going to see that you had a devil in you when I get done. I messed things up, didn't I, Brother Ed? You say, this can't be. Why come to North Carolina for this bunch of ignorance? Well, we ain't done yet. You know what? Okay, I'm backing up. I'm led by the Spirit of God to say everything I said here tonight. You don't agree with that, do you, Brother John? Maybe you don't agree with it, Brother Randy or Brother Andy. But let me tell you something. There is the Lord will absolutely do something to get in your crawl, to get that wretched devil of evil surmising and thinking so spiritual and thinking so highly. He's going to get a preacher up there to say some ignorant stuff for you can get that stinking devil off of you and get set free and get born again. And if I got to come to church tomorrow night with my bozo suit and the little squeeze honking nose and the orange hair, I'll do it because I want to see you get set free and get born again. Amen. Let me tell you something. You got your ideology, what you think's going to do to reach people. Let me tell you something. I've seen the foolishness of preaching saved people, and I got Bible for that. And I've seen ways and things that maybe you have never seen. I've seen people come to the Lord Jesus Christ in the streets. I've been on the job sites, and I've had them come to God. And I've had them on their knees out there in the construction zones and have prayed with them and got them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? So the thing is while you're thinking that you've got something, I don't see the fruit of the Holy Ghost. I don't see souls being added into the kingdom from your endeavors and your labors while you're critiquing and scrutinizing and all you're doing is bringing damnation and judgment to your own self. I'm just a brother. That's all I am. I'm a brother. That's it. And I'm following the leading of the Lord. And while you're questioning it, as Brother Arthur Burt would say, I like what I'm doing. It's better than what you are. Are you with me, saints? Let's give Jesus a hand. Come on. Saints of God. I could take in the scriptures. And I could show you some things that to the intellectual mind were so foolish. And God did it that way because he was going to show himself when he got done. Now, some of you that sat under Brother George Pike, if you would think back the way you saw things take place and happen, it was so far beyond the way somebody that was maybe in that trade would have done it. Or somebody that would have thought this way or that way. Sometimes he would do things backwards. And you say, why would he do that? Because he was following the leading of the Lord. He had men that were trained and knew how to navigate in aviation and in boats and different things. And they say, it's this way. And he said, no, I want to go this way. He was following something greater than a DeLorean. He was following something greater than Google Maps. He was following something better than a GPS. He was following the Spirit of the Lord. And it led him off out to sea in the wrong direction and found some people in despair out there. And while you're so polished, and this is the way we win souls, you're not going to find one. But you're going to have to yield yourself to the Spirit of the living God and humble yourself down and esteem them better and greater than yourself. And you're going to find yourself on the knees in the cesspool with the drunk and the harlots and find yourself out there loving them and compelling them to come into the house of God. But you'll never do that following after your polished ways. And you won't see anything happen. You'll find the will and the mind of God. God's is a spirit. And the sons of God, the Bible says, are led by the Spirit of God. Some of you might be questioning your sonship. I'm not. Because I'm telling you something. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And when I find you led by your ideology, if I find you led by your quotes, if I find you led by your dreams, if I find you led by your visions, if I find you led by your types and shadows, if I find you led by that, you are most definitely not a son of God. Because the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, and they observe dreams and types and shadows and allegories. Amen. But they're not led by them. That's one way to find out. Right there, right quick.
When you make a decision on a dream, you have missed God. Are you hearing me? Wait a minute, preacher. The Bible said in the end times, the old men will dream dreams and have visions. And I say, I know the word of God. And I'm going to say it again. When you are led by dreams and led by visions, you are not a son of God. The Bible said the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Sons of God have visions and dreams. Sons of God see allegories. But I'm telling you what, I've seen too many people. I've been with men that were last night in the dope. I've been with men that was last night in the alcohol. I've been with men like that, and they'll be with you in the house of God the next day. They've been in their filth. They've been in their perversion. And they'll bring you into some allegories. They'll bring you into some types and shadows. They'll tell you the color of the car went by meant that. They'll tell you the name of the road that that church was on. They'll tell you the town that car was built in. They'll tell you why it's named. And they'll tell you these things. And they have never got into the Spirit of God one time. People don't like this preaching because they like those things for they could esteem themselves better than somebody else. You say, Brother Rob, why are you preaching like this? Because I'm a soul winner and I'm preaching the word. If I cross the boundary of the word of God tonight, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. When you quit seeking after the signs, when you quit seeking after the allegories, when you quit seeking after the types and the shadows, and you fall in love with Jesus, and you go fall in love with Jesus, and you say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Jesus, let me have the Holy Ghost. Jesus, I want to please you. Then those things will come to you and you'll be walking in perfection. You'll be walking in holiness. You'll be walking in a sound mind. You'll be walking in the victory. You'll be an overcomer and you'll endure all the way to the end. Amen. Give Jesus a hand. Let's stand to our feet. Let me tell you something. You're not justified by knowledge. You're justified by one thing and one thing only, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're just, it's because of the Spirit of the living God. Amen. It ain't because you raised up in the right town. It ain't because you came from the right daddy. It's because one thing and one thing only. It's because you've been born again. Amen. You know you've passed from death unto life when you love the brethren. And if you don't love the brethren, brother and sister, you ain't never been born again. Because let me tell you something. I've never met a man or woman that was born again that didn't love the brethren. And that individual say, oh yeah, the problem is they ain't brethren. Because he's the only one. Or she's the only one. That a poor, pitiful, sickening situation. Let me tell you something. I love the brethren tonight. Amen. I'm in love with the brotherhood. Amen. I'm in love with the brotherhood at Grace Temple. I'm in love with the brotherhood over here in High Point, North Carolina. You know why? Because they're the children of God. Guess what? They might stumble a little bit. They might stagger a little bit. But them are my brethren. They're the sons of God. Hallelujah. And I love them. Can somebody give Jesus a hand? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't we all just gather in the altars a minute? Let's ask the Lord to just let us worship Him for a moment. I think they got some food downstairs. Is that correct? They got food down there? It's Brother Rob, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Let's get filled with the Holy Ghost. Let's get born again. Let's get excited about Jesus. You get excited about your salvation. You get excited about being a son of God. Somebody's going to want what you got. You understand that? You say, why ain't I leading anybody to God? Because you don't even act like you care about being a Christian. You start being excited. Hey, I'm born again. Hey, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, I've been set free. Hey, man, somebody going to want some of that. Amen. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord.
It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother nor my father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can you sing that from your heart? And you say, it's me, Lord. I need prayer. It's me, Lord. I need help. It's me, Lord. I need strength. Oh God, anoint me. Oh Lord, let the virtue of the living God flow through my innermost being.
Fill me with your spirit, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 While we're standing in these altars and we're praying and asking God to grant the revelation to us, while we're standing here asking God to reveal to us, while we're standing here asking God to touch us, to fill us, to anoint us, to heal us, to deliver us, to save us, whatever it may be. Also, let's remember somebody else. We got friends and family that are lost. We got people that we love that are lost. Are you concerned for the lost? Are you concerned? Are you going to lie to yourself when that loved one dies? And you're going to lie to everybody like everybody said. They go over their funeral and say, oh, they're in a better place. Oh, no, sir. They're not in a better place. They're in hell. Believe what the Bible says. You got to be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. And when your loved one dies, you always put them in heaven. But they're going to hell unless they be born again. This is the time to do something about it. Tell that lost mama. Tell that lost daddy. Tell that lost son. Tell that lost daughter. Tell that lost grandson. That lost granddaughter. You need to tell them they need Jesus and they need him today. And quit making excuses. Quit making this God, this big old pushover, just lets anybody in. I'm sorry to say this, but I don't want your mommy or your daddy or your brother and sister in heaven with me unless they be born again anyway. Amen. Because when they climb up through their religious vomit, they're going to be cast down hand and foot, the Bible says. And you need to get concerned. You need to start praying and calling their name out to the Lord and saying, God, save them. God, set them free. That's what you need to be doing. Where's the concern for the heathen? You ain't going to make it into heaven by what you think. The only way you're going to make it in is by being born again. And you say, well, I believe in my heart. And my Bible said your heart is continually evil and deceitful and wicked. And a man don't even know his own heart. So don't you trust in your heart. You trust in Jesus and Him alone. And He'll lead you and He'll draw you and He'll guide you into the kingdom. Amen. Your heart will deceive you. We got the power. Trust in Jesus. It's Him. It's Him and Him alone. Jesus is the way. He's the only way. I don't care what Joel Osteen says. It's Jesus and He's the only way. You understand that? I don't care what Oprah Winfrey says. It's Jesus and Him alone. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my salvation. He's the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to make it. It's by Jesus and Him only. You might sit under a great preacher. He ain't going to bring you in unless he's following Jesus. Amen. You might quote what he said, but you better receive the same spirit he's got or has if he's born again. Amen. You love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you have the power tonight? Do you have the power to endure all the way to the end? Or do you have a form of godliness denying that power? Amen. That power isn't speaking in tongues. That power ain't going to church on time. That power ain't paying your tithes. That power's the Holy Ghost, amen. It's that thing that surges in your body. It's that thing that brings you into the kingdom of God. It's that thing that sets you apart. It's that thing that sets you free. It's that thing that cleans you up and washes you. It's that thing that makes you stand upright in righteousness and holiness. It's what it is. Amen. Let's give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm going to say this and we're going to go downstairs, go down there and have a good time, have some good fellowship. But I'm going to say this and we're going to close the service. Thank you for coming in the altars. Let's make a way for others. When people walk through the door of this church, something, they should feel something. Say, yes. Oh my, I'm standing in holy ground. Praise amen. The Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And that comes by brethren coming to the house of God, prepared. Prayed up, been talking to the Lord and saying, God, I'm going to help. I'm going to go there and I'm going to be in the mind of Christ and I'm going to pray. And they're going to see a witness and something taking place and they want to be part of that. People want to be part of something, brothers and sisters. Yeah. Amen. And there ain't nothing greater than what's going on right here in Christian Temple. Praise ain't nothing Lord. Greater in all the world.
Hallelujah.
If I said Grace Temple, I'd be saying the same thing. Amen. You know why? Because that's where God's at.
That's right.
You say you think that's where he's at? He's wherever I'm at.
Amen.
Amen. You say you believe that, don't you? I sure do. Amen. You say, what if you're the devil? He was there too. Ain't that Bible? Huh? Would you brother me say this? Say, wherever you find Brother Rob, the devil's there too. You say, oh, that bears witness to me, Brother Rob. Well, that's the word of God. Ain't it right? Where the sons of God are, the devil's there also,
right,
ain't he?
That's the word.
He follows me around, helps me win souls. He just don't realize that's what he's doing. Because I do stuff to make him mad. And when people see him get mad, then they come against me. And they say, boy, that is something going on there. There's a present day crucifixion right there. That old devil don't like that preaching. I'm smiling, saying, you don't like me, do you? But I love you. When was the last time you had somebody come up to you and look you in the eye and say, you ain't nothing but the devil? I've had it. And I just smile back and I love you. I may be the devil, but I got enough to understand about the Bible. You need to get born again. I'm smiling. I could love them. Can you only love people that love you? If so, you've never experienced sonship. You got to learn how to love people that are unlovable. Then you're experiencing God love. You say, I want to know about that agape love. I'm not sure if you're ready for it. Because he's going to make you loving somebody while they spitting in your face and telling you that you ain't nothing but the devil. And you can smile and say, I love you. Do you have enough God to do that? Believe me, you'll find out. Or you'll do like this preacher said, tonight, somebody needs to slap him. I ain't done it yet, and I ain't going to. I keep that man down. I just let you know he comes around once in a while. And I got to have a present day crucifixion. Come on now.
That's right, every day. Amen.
See, I can be honest about it. I got to kill him out every day. Like Brother Willie said, every day. That's why the Bible said take up your cross every day. Amen. Brother Rob, I've got to take it up 2 or 3 times every day. Some of you polished folks don't have to do that but once a week. I got to do it every day. Pray for me. But you've been drinking, man, it's good. Come try it. I seen some reprobate preacher said he was drinking from that angel stuff, man, and he was acting, falling all down stuff. And I think God would have suffered somebody get slapped that night. I think he would have, Brother Willie. I really do. I think that would have been the leading of the Lord. Somebody needs to slap him off the platform and get a man of God up there filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, I don't think God works that way. Then you tell me when he took that whip and went into the temple of God. You think he went and goes, hey, fellas? No, he did not. He didn't go in there with his little fingers stuck up and, hey, pardon me. He went in and I guarantee you he raised his voice up like a trumpet. And I bet you they felt the shaking power of the living God. And he pulled that whip out and he drove them out of there. Is what he said. He drove them out of there. And let me tell you something, that same spirit that done it that day is living in me, and I'm about ready to start taking some devils and pushing them out the door. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. You say, you ain't kicking out me, are you, Brother Rom? Only if you're the devil, I am. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Really, what I'm trying to do is run the devil off and keep you.
Praise the Lord.
There has never been a man or woman I wanted to run off in this church.
No.
But I'll tell you, they kept bringing back the same old devil with him. I wanted to get him out. They just went with him. You ever seen that happen? You think Jesus wanted Judas to go? He said, go do and do what you got to do quickly. But he'd like to see that spirit leave and him stay.
That's
I promise you that. But he knew what was in his heart and what was going to happen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Are you glad you come to church tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Ed, if you'll dismiss us and they have food down there and pray over the food. Thank you for coming. Come tomorrow night. Expecting the Lord to use you. He might call on you to sing a song. He might call on you to testify. He may call on you to preach. I love y'all and appreciate you. Pray for me. You say you need a preacher. That's why I'm asking you. Amen. God bless y'all. I love you. Thank you for being here.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is ChristianTempleOnline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.